Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I am not here with Stetzer or Adkins. I have a brand new co-host now. Maybe I'll replace the other two guys with this guy, depending on how it goes. But I have here Josh. See, I know it's not Gannon, but because I'm Canadian, I immediately go to the French Canadian pronunciation of any last names like this. But it's Josh Gagnon, right?
Gagnon, but I'll go with Gagnon. It makes me feel like you're bringing me back to my roots. It feels real natural.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Josh is the pastor of lead pastor of Next Level Church, which if you guys haven't heard about, I don't know what planet you're living on, because I have been hearing about Josh for the last 5 years from our mutual friend, Brad Lominick. And I know our other mutual friend, Carrie Newhoff, has had you on multiple times. And what I love about your church and your context and what you're doing, Josh, is that there's for me as a Canadian and now being back in Canada full time, there's definitely quite a number of similarities between New England and Canada in the post-Christian nature of it all. So it's been neat it's been neat because, yes, we can learn lots from churches in the South. There's lots that we can all learn from one another, but the context is quite different, as you sure are familiar with, right?
Yeah, we pastor in the Least Church region of the United States of America. And like you said, it's so connected to the Canada climate. You know, I find a lot more in common with Canadian churches being in the Northeast than I do churches in the South of the country I live in. And so I think we can learn a lot from what's going on within the Canadian church. I think we can learn a lot from what's going on within the church in New England and where we're moving really as a culture. You guys are steps ahead of even where we are as far as being post-Christian and where the church is headed.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh. So before we get into our question, just for our listeners, Josh has a brand new book out, a brand new book called It's Not Over. We're going to have a link to that in his show notes and where you can reach him. And obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, you could probably look him up on Twitter and Instagram. What's your handle, by the way?
Pastor Josh Gagnon.
Awesome. Awesome. So just encourage you guys to do that, to check out his book. But hey, the thing about his book, he's in your book, you talk a lot about dreaming, right? Dreaming and overcoming resistance and criticism and doubt. And man, if there's anything that has changed the landscape of the church, not just in the West, but around the world, it's COVID-19, right? It's coronavirus. And today, for today's question, I want to talk about this sense of disappointment. Disappointment, how do you deal with the disappointment when your dreams get crushed because of pandemics like this? How do you deal with disappointment when you are getting ready to launch a campus, which we were getting ready to do, and our future campus, I mean, he was trained, he was ready to go, we were about to sign a lease, and now who knows what's going to happen? How do you deal with disappointment when you're a church planner and next week you are supposed to launch? For the last year you've been working on this and your dream is crushed because you don't know how to move forward. Josh, why don't you take it from there and give us some insight?
Yeah, Daniel, it's really heartbreaking in many ways when you think about what we're going through as a culture right now. I was talking to somebody in the UK yesterday, and they were talking about how every single church there is closed. And I got off the phone with that person, and I got on a phone call with somebody who was a friend of mine getting ready to plant a church next weekend. And they said, I cannot believe I've put in all this time. I can't believe this is happening. I built a team. I raised money. And like you're saying, this isn't just a few situations. This is a situation that relates to most every single leader. I mean, we were in the midst of a building project. You were talking about September launching a location. And so, you know, disappointment is pretty heavy right now within the church world, and fear and worry and these wonders of like, is this even going to happen? And, you know, inside the book, I talk about how how when God gives us a dream in our heart, man, we can feel it, we can taste it, we can see it. My kids love Legos, and so we'll go into a Lego store, and they're always wanting to pick out the most complex Lego box because the outside of the picture, man, it looks awesome, right? It's it's this 4,124 piece Lego set, and the outside of the box, it's all put together.
Yeah, and for like $1,000.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to take out. You got to make payments now at the Lego store to get a Lego set. And so you know, and that's how dreams come to us. I know, like the dream you have for September, that location. Mm. You can see it in your heart thriving, right? You can see God doing it. Mm. And all of those listening, man, you have that dream and all of a sudden this virus hits. Yeah. And here's the thing with the God-sized dream. It comes to us like that Lego box. It's an outside of the picture reality inside of our heart. We see it. We see that church planting. We see it growing. We see it reaching people for Jesus. And then there are times like this where we're reminded that the dream in our heart doesn't come put together. Mm. It comes like the inside of a Lego box. My kids get home and they open up the box and 4,000 pieces fall out on the table. And it's in that moment you realize that there's 4,000 steps of obedience, disappointment, patience, moments of discipline. And right now, I think that's what we're facing. We're facing a disappointment. We're facing a moment where we've worked really hard for that dream we see in our heart, and we're holding pieces of this Lego set, and we're like, this doesn't even make sense. Mm. Where does this piece even go? What do I even do to move forward? And the reality is all we can do is be faithful with where it is we're at right now. Great leaders that have been called to plant churches, that have been called to lead within God's kingdom, have to slow down their pace for a moment and recognize what they see as pointless, God can use as purposeful, and right now they can build an infrastructure, systems, relationships, opportunities, and they can teach their teams to think outside of the box even before starting the church. Because you know this, right? Once we start that church, we quickly jump inside of a box, even if we don't want to. Mm. And this is helping church planters that have yet to plant, or even have already planted. Mm. It's forcing us to jump outside that box once again and start with the same innovation that we had before we started the church.
I love that. I love that. Hey, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and we'll get back right into it. It is now well known that planting new churches and campuses is the most effective way of reaching the lost, and launching in rented venues like schools or theaters is one of the most cost-effective ways to launch a new church. So if you're planning a launch or are trying to figure out how to do church well in rented venues, we encourage you to check out our friends at Portable Church. The team at Portable Church Industries takes your vision and creates engaging environments that keep volunteer retention high and allow more energy to be spent on ministry. Go to portablechurch.com/lifeway to learn more and find free customized resources that teach how to launch portable and strong. All right, Josh. So when we think about, and I love that analogy of the Legos and all the pieces that are on the ground right now, but when we think about what to do next, what advice would you specifically give the individual who, yes, is dealing with that disappointment, is recognize all the pieces here, yet I'm not even talking about the church planner who was getting ready to launch. I'm talking about the church planner that launched 3 months ago, or the campus, or let's not even get into multi-site. We'll do that on another episode. So let's talk about the church plant that launched a few months ago, or for all the churches that are like, yes, Sunday's still coming. We're going to live stream, or we're going to do this. I mean, there's this sense of, hey, I am a shepherd. I am the shepherd for my church, and we need to, like, my flock is all scattered and they're lost.
Yeah.
And I mean, what advice would you give them to be able to adapt, to be able to adjust, to be able to kind of get our heads out of the depth of disappointment and rise up as leaders? What advice would you give in that situation?
Yeah, when it comes to leadership and leaders, we're often visionaries, and we're often many steps out in front of the organization or the church that we're leading. And I would recommend that we rebel against that natural tendency in this moment. Mm. And we live in the actual moment. Mm. And so for me, I start thinking about, what about Easter? And then I start thinking about, what about, you know, the summer? What about 6 months from now. And it's so easy for me to find myself chasing this rabbit trail of the unknown all the way to a point of death. Well, if this keeps happening, there's no way we're going to be able to continue to stay alive. And so instead of chasing these rabbit trails of the unknown, weeks and weeks out, what I'm choosing to do and what I'd encourage everybody to choose to do is say, what are we going to do for the next 2 weeks? What are we going to do this week? And so that may be you get on the phone and you call every single person that's ever been in the database of your church plant or your church, and you call every single one of them and you let them know this is where the church soars the most. When when a community around us is broken, this is when we are the light of the world. We shine brightest. And so, you know, there are things that we can do in this season that maybe we wouldn't do in other seasons. But if we get focused too far out, we start to collapse underneath the anxiety of the unknown, even as leaders. True. So we've got to pull back that far projection and place it into a two-week window. What are we going to do this week to hold our church plant together, to lead our leaders in a way that they need to be led? The other thing I would say is we need to make sure that we lead in confidence and not in question. And so as a leader, we're looking and we're talking to our teams and we're giving direction and we're letting them know that the leader that they're trusting in to lead them forward is leading in confidence, even in moments of unknown. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that's important. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on what you guys are doing or that thought of thinking just not too far ahead, but right now.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, everything you're saying, I'm on the same page with. For us, we were in the middle of, when all this hit, we were in the middle of planning for July to June of next year, like July 2020 to June 21, which is our ministry year. So we were so well into it, doing our start, stop, continues, assessing. We had concept pages for what we were going to do. We had so much exciting ministry. And yesterday with our leadership teams, I was like, guys, everything, we're not throwing it all in the trash. We're just putting it all to the side. We're not going to worry about any of that. And we're just going to think about until the end of April. And at the time of the recording, you know, however many weeks that was. So for us, it was very much, we're just going to think about that. And then let's back it up a little bit and say, okay, what can we do this week? What can we do next week? And giving people that sense of, okay, in the midst of, In a time where it seems like every single day something new happens and our curve is being compared to other people's curves and there's all this sense of we literally don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen the day after. I mean, it's just with the speed that this is changing things. Definitely having a posture of adaptability and the ability to adjust is going to be such a key competency moving forward.
Yeah, and I think sticking to a routine in this season is very important for leaders. Mm-hmm. I think making sure that you're not just sleeping late and getting lazy, but I think getting up, having a routine, being active, reading, writing messages, if that's what you do, if you teach, leading your team, coming up with new curriculum, thinking of ways to connect people. I think it's very easy in these seasons for the discouragement to cause us to become lazy and brokenhearted. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And there's some church planters, there's church leaders that are listening, man. And that hope that you had for that church plant, that hope that you had for that city, that hope you had to launch that location, man, it's been deferred and it's making that heart sick. And I think we can rebel against that sickness. The Bible says a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. I think we can rebel against that sickness by choosing to believe that even though it's a delayed dream, maybe that'll come to fruition. It's not a dead dream. And so we still can do what we need to do today in order to advance the ball forward tomorrow. And so I would challenge leaders and teams to make sure that we're talking together, we're active with one another, we're thinking ahead, we're creating situation rooms where we're still dreaming. We can still dream inside of a dream that feels a little bit deferred.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Hey, thanks, Josh, for being a co-host with me. We're going to have you on another time to talk about the future of multi-site and church planting. I guess what we believe or some thoughts on what we believe the future of church planning and multi-site is going to be when this is all over. But on that note, your book is called It's Not Over. It's Not Over. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can connect with you and find more information about your book?
Yeah, the book It's Not Over can be bought anywhere books are sold. It'snotoverbook.com is the website. And my name is Joshua Gagnon. Thanks for having me, Dan. It's been awesome being a co-host on this show that's changing the world, baby. Thank you.
Yeah, man. You're the first co-host. Don't tell Todd or Ed. Awesome. We'll have you back.